Oh, that's our prayer today, is that Jesus would be the center of all that we do. Today I want to talk to you about our fears. I believe this, that our fears in our lives will have a profound effect on the life that we live. What we fear and who we fear will have that amazing impact on our lives. And oftentimes fear is a negative thing. It's a destructive thing. It's a challenging thing. But fear can also be such a positive thing in our life too. But you know, fear is just so funny. I was thinking about this week. I remember taking my little boy on his first trip to the Easter Bunny over at the mall. He was like 3 years old, and he screamed bloody murder. I mean, it was like I had taken him and sat him in the lap of Freddy Krueger, you know? Just utter pandemonium. We're afraid of some funny things, aren't we? Kids have all kinds of fears. Adults have fears too, don't they? I was talking with Gina about one of her fears. She remembers in the second grade that she went to a high school play about Dracula, and she was terrorized for about the next 3 or 4 years of her life, but she still actually sleeps with the covers pulled up over her neck just in case Dracula is in the neighborhood. How about that? I've had some fears in my life too. One of my fears is that I'm going to get up here and I'm going to preach a sermon to you that's like 5 minutes long. And I know many of you are like, oh, Pastor, that we never worry about that. But as a college student, my very first sermon I preached at a church, the pastor said to me, he said, Ryan, you have to preach for 30 minutes because we have this on live TV broadcast. First sermon, college student. And he said, whatever you do, just don't stop. Well, I preached my heart out. 10 minutes into the message, I was done. And I sat down and I knew that I had really messed up because the pastor got up and started to try and preach kind of like on my behalf. He was trying to improv, kind of trying to elaborate on what I said or what I didn't say. And I knew I was in trouble. I looked out. I saw the old ladies. I saw the dresses, the ties, the coats, the big wooden pulpit, the cameras, all that just totally freaked me out. So today, I still live in fear that I'm going to preach to you a five-minute sermon. So I have like 8 or 9 pages of notes, and you don't have to worry about that today, actually. But it is kind of in the back of my mind a little bit. Fear is just a really interesting thing, isn't it? It has so much shape in our life. And if we don't deal with our fears, we can allow them to rob us of God's plan for our life, to steal the dreams that God has put into our hearts. We can be held back in so many arenas of life just because we're afraid. We're afraid to do God's will. We're afraid to take a step of faith. We're afraid to do this. We're afraid to do that. And we don't want that to happen. Interestingly enough, the Bible says that there is a fear that is good. There is a fear that's good, and that is the fear of God. The fear of God is a good thing. It's a positive thing. And what I'm talking to you about today is not something that people are packing out the Pepsi Center at conferences talking about, the fear of God. It's not something that's on Christian t-shirts, I walk in the fear of God. It's not on Christian coffee mugs, the fear of God is awesome and amazing. But it is something that is so appropriate and so powerful for our lives. Today I want us to look at Isaiah the prophet. We've been in this series of messages from the book of Isaiah called The Best Is Yet to Come. And the prophet says in the 50th chapter, verse 10, who among you fears the Lord and obeys his servant? If you are walking in darkness without any ray of light, trust in the Lord and rely on your God. Who among you fears the Lord? Who among you fears the Lord? Earlier in the same book, he says in the 33rd chapter, in that day he will be your sure foundation, providing a rich store of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. And here's where it gets really good. The fear of the Lord will be your treasure. Yeah, the fear of the Lord is... It's like a treasure, and a treasure is something that has to be sought. You know, you have to seek after the treasure, and once you find the treasure, you discover that the treasure is more valuable than you thought it was. I remember as a kid, my childhood friend that lived on my block, 2 houses down, got a metal detector for his 10th birthday, big headphones. He had me going throughout the neighborhood metal detecting everything. I mean, it was crazy. We were out there day after day after day. He said, Ryan, you carry the shovel, and I'll metal detect. And he's out there, you know, he's doing all this crazy stuff. Man, just nothing, hour after hour after hour. You know, he got this new birthday present. We got to try this out. And, you know, I'm trying to help him. Finally, like on the third day, the metal detector starts going crazy. I mean, it's like, whoa, we've struck treasure. You know, that's what we thought. We thought, man, we've hit it big. So we started digging in the middle of my friend's yard, and luckily his dad wasn't home. And we dug down about a foot or two, and you know what we discovered? It wasn't treasure, it was just an old tin can. I was so discouraged. I was so distraught. I thought, all of that work for nothing. I want you to know today, the treasure of God, the treasure of God will never disappoint. The fear of God is a treasure. The fear of God. And today I want to talk to you about why the fear of God is a treasure, why it's awesome, and how we can get the fear of God into our lives. Because today in the modern church, we've talked so much about God's grace and God's mercy and God's compassion, and all those things are true. And you guys know I'm totally for all of that. But I'm afraid that in talking about this side of God, that maybe we have overlooked a little bit this side of God, the fear of God, the awe of God. When I say the fear of God, I don't mean that we are in trepidation. It doesn't mean that we are constantly shaking every time we think about the name of God. The fear of God is the reverence of God. It's the awe of God. It's the respect of God. That's what it means to walk and to live in the fear of God. So the fear of God is a great thing. And the Bible says that when we live in the fear of God, that it will bring great things into our lives. Bring great things into our life. Today is a note-taking Sunday. I'm going to give you crazy, crazy notes because, again, I live in fear that I'm not going to give you enough content today. So grab those notes out. You guys can make me feel better. And we'll hit some of these reasons why the fear of God is an awesome thing. But, you know, if there's a common thread throughout Scripture, just about every Bible character that ever did something great for God, the Bible says they lived in the fear of God. It's amazing. I mean, you look at Noah in Hebrews chapter 11. The Scripture says that Noah built the ark, and it took him 120 years, but he did so because he had the fear of God. Don't you know that the HOA was going crazy with Noah building the ark in his backyard? Don't you know that the neighbors thought he was crazy, 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 building this huge boat, and yet year after year he did it? Why? Because he feared God more than he feared everybody else. Moses, in Exodus chapter 1, the Israelites had been commanded by Pharaoh, the Hebrew midwives, to take those baby boys and to throw them into the Nile River. And the Bible says they refused to do so because they feared God. They feared God more than they feared Pharaoh. And Moses' life was spared. In the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 24, the book that bears his name, Joshua is challenging the Israelites right before he's going to die. In the 24th chapter, he says this to the people, "So fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly." He challenges them. Proverbs 31 is that passage that we normally think of about the godly woman. And for good reason, because that is what it's about. But in Proverbs 31, it's interesting that this long list of the virtuous wife and the virtuous woman, she does this and she does this. And then it says this about her fear. It says this, "The woman who fears the Lord will be praised." In the Gospels, in Luke chapter 1, Mary finds out she's going to bear the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and she busts out in a song, and she sings a song, and she says this, "His mercy is on those who fear him." Mercy. His mercy is on those who fear him. Romans chapter 3, the Apostle Paul laments the people who don't live in the fear of God. And in Ephesians chapter 5, the great relationship chapter, which describes the relationship between a husband and a wife, and an employee and an employer, and a child and a parent. He says that the key to all relationships, the key to all of them, is the fear of God. You know what our homes need today? Our homes need the fear of God. Our marriages need the fear of God. You know what our nation needs today? We need the fear of God. We need the reverence of God. We need the awe of God in our lives. That's what we need today. Again, This is not something we love to talk about. It's not something that's cozy and comfortable, but it is something that we are in a desperate, desperate need for. So how do we walk in the fear of God? And why is it important to walk in the fear of God? Number one, the Bible tells us simply that the fear of God is the beginning of all wisdom. It gives me wisdom. The fear of God gives me wisdom. Wisdom is that good judgment or that ability to develop the best course of action. Wisdom is when you're able to take practical, you're able to take knowledge and put it into practice. That's what it is. There's a lot of smart people in the world who have lots of degrees, but they don't have wisdom. Wisdom is a God-given ability to take knowledge and to put it into practice. That's what it is. And the scripture tells us that wisdom comes from God. Look at Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge or wisdom, but the fool despises wisdom and discipline. Another translation says the fear of God is the beginning of all wisdom. It's the foundation. It's the first thing. If you want to be a person of wisdom, fear God. Live in awe of God. Live in the reverence of God. That's the beginning of wisdom. That's the beginning of wisdom. Then he goes on and the scripture tells us that walking in the fear of God will also be a blessing to our children. Look at this in Psalm 112. Praise the Lord. How joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying His commands. And then look at this in verse 2. Their children will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed. So listen, when moms and dads walk in the fear of God, it blesses the kids. How does it bless the kids? Because the kids have seen an example. They've seen an example to follow. I said, you know what? I got a tough situation. What would my mom have done about this, you know? What would my dad have thought about that, you know? When we walk in the fear of God, we set course for our family, for our children. And so it's a blessing. It's a blessing to our children that come after us, man, to see us walk in the fear of God. It blesses our family. Blesses our family. And then it also makes me joyful. If you look at the same verse in verse 1, it says, praise the Lord. How joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying His commands. Their children will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed. But look at that first part. Praise the Lord. How joyful are those who hear and delight in obeying God's command. In other words, the fear of God is joyful. The fear of God is good. It's good. The fear of God is not like a phobia. The fear of God is a joy. It's a joy. Listen, we need to use our knowledge of God to bring joy into our lives. You know that, man? If you're discouraged today, disheartened, beat down, worn out, stressed, know this today. God is a compassionate God. God is a compassionate God. Use your knowledge of God to bring joy into your life. He's compassionate. He's one who provides guidance. He's one who provides protection. So listen, the more that we know about God, the more that we fear God, the more that we reverence God, the more joy that it brings into our lives. That's what it does. That's what it does. It also keeps me from sin. Look at this in verse 6, chapter 16, verse 6 of Proverbs. By fearing the Lord, people avoid evil. You know, we wonder today, why do so many people have a lack of a moral compass? We look at the decisions that people make in our country today, in our culture. Why do people do crazy things? They don't have the fear of God. They don't have an ethical direction. They don't have a moral compass over their life. And the fear of God will keep us on the right path. God knows better than me. God knows better than me. I know as a kid growing up, there were a lot of things that some of my classmates were doing that I didn't do because I feared my parents. I respected my parents. And I did not want to let them down. I knew that if I did some certain things that it would break their hearts, and I didn't want to do that. Because I had the fear of my parents, it kept me away from sin. And how much more should the fear of God in our life keep us from going down the path of destruction? You know what the decision that most people make their ethical and moral decisions by is, who will know and will I get caught? That's the determining factor. You know what? When you walk into fear of God, You're like, man, I don't care if anybody knows about it. God knows. And because God knows, it changes the way that I think about that. Walking in the fear of God keeps me from sin. It shows me the right path. Shows me the right path. Psalm 25 says, who are those who fear the Lord? He will show them the path that they should choose. When you walk in the fear of God, you will know what path to take. So ladies, single ladies today, if there's three awesome Christian guys that are asking you out and they have a lot of money and big biceps and they love the Lord, you'll know which one to entertain. How about that? That was supposed to be funny. The 9:30 service laughed at that. Everybody's like, man, he's serious. Let me write that down. All the single ladies were like, whoa. Yeah. Shows me the right path. God will show me the right path. God will direct us, man. I think for me, one of the things that keeps me walking in the fear of God is not so much that God will smack me, but it's that God will take his hand off of me. We don't want God to remove his hand of blessing and direction from our lives. And that's why walking in the fear of God matters so much. The awe of God, the reverence of God. Man, today, listen, God is not just a little bit better version of you. God is not your homeboy. God is not the one you just go give a fist bump to. He is God. He is majestic. He is amazing. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. And that's why we walk in awe and respect of him. You know, when we walk in the fear of God, it will motivate us to reach people. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade men. Man, when you know the fear of God, you will want everybody else to walk in the fear of God too. One of my best memories of my mom as a kid growing up was when our church had Vacation Bible School. And we have Wild Week here at Edge Church, but back in the day it was Vacation Bible School. Anybody go to Vacation Bible School as a kid? All right, yeah. Some of us know what that is. Yeah, Vacation Bible School. My mom borrowed the church van to pack all the kids in the neighborhood to take them to Vacation Bible School. And this was the coolest church van. It was a Volkswagen van, like from the 70s, man. It should have been painted in tie-dye. It should have had a peace sign on the passenger side door, but it was all white. But mom would, you know, drive around the neighborhood. We'd pack all the kids, you know, and abduct kids, whatever, to take them to church, whatever it took, you know. Can't do that anymore. We used to do that back in the day. And it was a standard, and mom would grind those gears, you know, getting the thing in gear. And we would take kids to Vacation Bible School. And why did my mom do it? Because my mom wanted kids to know about Jesus. That's why. See, when we walk in the fear of God, we want people to know Christ. The Bible says there is a heaven, there is a hell. We don't want people to miss heaven because we didn't tell them about Christ. It's important. When we walk in the fear of God, man, we're trying to persuade others to come to know Christ as well. We can't help it. We can't help it. I wonder, where are the parents today that want to make sure that the whole neighborhood's at Wild Week coming up in a few weeks? Where are the parents that are doing everything they can to get kids to Christ? That's what we need. The fear of God. The fear of God. The reverence of God. And see, when we walk in the fear of God, we will experience God's goodness. Look at this. Psalm 31. How great is your goodness which you have stored up for those who feared you. See, when you fear God, when you respect God, when you revere God, God will store up his goodness in your life. When I think of stored up, I think about my grandparents that lived in a Texas farm. And we would go there for the summers, and my grandmother loved to can peaches and can vegetables, you know, because they had all these trees and all these vegetables and gardens and all this kind of crazy stuff. And I used to love canned peaches. And so we would eat all the peaches that we could possibly stand, and then grandma would can the peaches to save them for later. And if you went down to the basement, there were shelves and shelves and shelves of all the stuff that was stored up. You don't store something up unless you have extra, right? Bible says this, man. The goodness of God will be stored up in your life. You'll have more than what you need. You'll have more than what you need. The goodness of God will flow from the fear of God, the respect of God. When I fear God, God's goodness will be stored up. How about that? Is that amazing? It will be stored up for those who fear you. So how do we grow in the fear of God? I mean, the fear of God is something that, yes, it's the beginning of all wisdom, Proverbs 1 tells us, but how do we grow in that? How can I walk in the fear of God, practically speaking? Well, first of all, the Bible tells us this, that we got to make God the priority of our life. Joshua, the Old Testament hero, said this, put away forever the idols of your ancestors that your ancestors worshipped, and when they lived beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord alone. Now, is God the center of your life? Are we worshiping idols? Idols are anything that takes the place of God. Here's how you know if you have an idol in your life. When the bottom falls out, when all hell breaks loose in your life, where's the first place that you turn? Where's the first place? Do you turn to the bottle? Do you turn to a relationship? Do you turn to a this or to that? Do you go to the mall and charge everything on your card? You know, you don't have any money. You know, I'm so stressed. Or do you turn to God? Do you drop to your knees and do you turn to God? See, our idol, our God, is the place that we turn to in the darkest, darkest hours of our lives. And Joshua says, serve the Lord wholeheartedly, walk in the fear of God, turn to God, make God the priority of your life. That's the gospel. Jesus Christ died on the cross, rose from the grave on the third day. Why did he do that? Because he loved you, wanted to come into your heart, change your life, make you new. So we got to put God at the forefront of our life to walk in the fear of God. We got to study and learn God's word as well. Look at this, and the psalmist said in Psalm 112, praise the Lord, how joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying his commands. See, the commands of God are delightful. Sometimes people look at God's commands and they're like, man, that stinks. I don't want to do that. No, man, when you're living in the fear of God, you find delight in following the Lord. You know, you're like, man, that's a blessing. That's awesome. Okay, God, maybe I don't know all the reasons why you said to do that or why you said to not do that, but man, I'm walking. I revere you. I respect you, God. I'm walking in the fear of God. Okay, I want to study. I want to learn God's word. You know, in Acts 22, the Apostle Paul is giving he's reciting his experience with Jesus. And if you want to read the first story, you look in Acts chapter 9. And Acts chapter 9 tells about how Saul became a Christian. He went from the persecutor of the early church to a follower of Jesus. But in Acts 22, he tells his story, and he says this, I had two questions for Jesus. The first question is, who are you? And the next question is, what do you want me to do? And I think that's a great motto. Those are two great questions we ought to be asking ourselves every time the Word of God is open, every time we read the Scripture, every time we go to church. God, where are you? And God, what do you want me to do? God, what do you want me to do? See, the Bible is not just an academic textbook. Learning God's word, becoming mature in Christ, is not just becoming a Bible encyclopedia. The Bible tells us actually the way that we mature in Christ is to do the word. So we learn it, but then we practice it. And when you practice it, that's when you really learn it. It's not just when you can recite all the facts. So we study and we learn God's word. Sometimes we have a cafeteria approach, don't we? I mean, we're kind of like, man, I love this in the Bible, but I don't want that. I remember as a kid going to the cafeteria with my grandparents. My grandparents loved the cafeteria. Do they have cafeterias anymore? I don't see them anymore. Back in the day, we used to go to the cafeteria with grandma. And I would get some fried chicken. And then I would sprint past all of the green vegetables all the way to the lemon meringue pie. And if grandma caught me, she would make me get some green beans or some broccoli or some type of green vegetables. I didn't like that. I felt like I was eating healthy if I had some fried chicken, some lemon meringue pie, and then maybe like a dinner roll to go with it or something like that. I was making a sprint past it. I'll take this, and I'll take that, but I don't want any of this. Sometimes when it comes to God's word, we want the things that we enjoy and that we like, and we want to leave the other stuff out, don't we? Yeah. And when we fear God, we delight in his word, man. We delight in who he is. The scripture goes on and tells us there, man, the fear of God can be practiced, and the fear of God can be increased when we bring tithes to God. We bring tithes. Look at this in Deuteronomy 14. Bring this tithe to the designated place of worship, the place the Lord your God chooses for his name to be honored, and doing this will teach you to always fear the Lord your God. Fear the Lord. So the tithe actually teaches us to fear God. We're putting God first in our finances, and every time we write that check or every time that we have automatic debit withdrawal or whatever it is, we're putting God first, and it reminds us to live in the fear of God. That's how we do it. Man, you want to know if you're living in the fear of God? Look at your checkbook. Look at your checkbook. What's going on there? The purpose of the tithe is to teach us to walk in the fear and the reverence and the awe of God. That's why it's there. The first and best goes to God. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So the tithe. The scripture goes on and it tells us, build godly relationships. Two are better than one, Ecclesiastes says, because they have a good return for their labor. And if either of them falls down, one can help the other up, but pity the one who falls and has no one there to help him up. Yeah, in other words, man, if we want to walk in the fear of God, we got to be connected to the right people. We got to build the right relationships. We need to do a little friend inventory today. We need to look at the people around us. If we say we want to walk in the fear of God and we want to have this kind of life, but all of our friends are over here and none of our friends walk in the fear of God, then we have to ask ourselves, how are the people that are influencing us going to help us to get from here to there? It's probably not going to happen. Yeah, so we got to look at our friends. This week I'm excited. I'm going to get with one of my great pastor friends who actually has been a friend of mine since I was in high school and college. We pray together. We are accountability partners. We encourage each other. Man, when I get around my friend, I'm telling you, I want to love God more. I want to be a better dad. I want to read the Bible. I want to study. I want to be a better pastor for our church. Man, do you have some people in your life like that? You know, you just get around them and it just starts rubbing off on you and you just want to love God and you just want to serve Christ and you just want to take your faith to a new level and you're just so inspired. Man, do you have people like that in your life? Or are your friends the people that are always holding you back? Always telling you what you can't do. Always discouraging you. Man, we got to get with the right people. The fear of God, man, is powerful when the church comes together. That's why the church is so important, because we have a group of people that are walking in the fear and the awe and the reverence of God, and we're doing it together, and we're encouraging each other on the path and on the journey. And as we do that, we serve the Lord. We serve the Lord. Look at Joshua 24 again. So fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. So fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. That is serve, man. Serve. When we fear God, we will serve him. These things work together. We can't say that we fear God and that we don't want to serve him. Are you using the gifts that God has given to you to serve in his kingdom? To better God's kingdom? Are you taking what God's given? You know, serving is a lot like a muscle. It's got to be exercised. When you have a muscle that's not exercised, what happens? Yeah, it just, you know, just it just gets weak, doesn't it? It doesn't do anything. When you have a muscle and you use the muscle, what happens? You get stronger. And the same is true with serving. When God gives you gifts and you use the gifts, guess what? Your faith grows. You're serving the Lord. You're walking in the fear of God. Man, your spiritual life is escalating. When you just kind of are sitting around and letting everybody else do everything and, oh, you know, I'm so busy. I don't have time to really serve God and help anybody. I'm just doing my own thing. Guess what happens? Man, are you serving God? We have a place on the connection card today for you to sign up to serve. Get involved, man. Don't be a spectator. Be a servant. The Bible says, serve the Lord. Are you using those gifts that God has given to you? And then finally, are we worshiping God? We want to walk in the fear of God. We worship God. The worship of God. Revelation says this, fear God, he shouted, give him glory, for the time has come when he will sit as judge and worship him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all the springs of water. Worship him who made the heavens, man. Reverence of God, the awe of God, the splendor of God. Worship him. And I hope that you'll make your private worship a priority. I hope you make your corporate worship a priority. I hope you're not just a person that shows up at church from time to time. Man, listen, guys, we ought to be in the house of God every week that we're in town. Every week it's possible to be here, we ought to be here. I hope you're not a part of the once a quarter club. We want to walk in the fear of God. How are we going to walk in the fear of God if we're not worshiping God? And by the way, this service starts at 11 o'clock, not 11:15. I don't know if some of you guys knew that. I hope you'll be early, man. Be excited. Show up just expecting that God's going to do something in your life. You know? Hope you don't come into this room and start making your grocery list and your to-do list for the week and whatever. No, man. God's going to do something great. I hope you have that spirit of expectation. I'm going to learn something. I'm going to experience something. I'm going to do something. I want to live in the fear of God. The worship of God. Worship of God. Just expecting God to speak to us, because the fear of God is a treasure. It's a treasure. And once we find the treasure, we discover its immense value and worth in our lives. The things that we fear will have a profound impact on our life. What are you fearing today? Is it fearing man, what people think? Or is it fearing God and what he says? Let's pray together today.